Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, April 28th. We're here back in the Classic Factory. I'm Jay Skeets, and alongside me, as always, we got Trey Kirby.
Heyo!
Heyo!
What's going on here? I'm like losing my ears. I got cords everywhere. There's too much stuff on me, Skeets.
Booze are out, and he's all over the place.
Yeah, bears right now.
We got the international man of mystery taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
And finally, the man making the magic happen, super producer JD.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Man, what? Are you serious right now?
Yeah, it's a. I don't know. I think my ears are not the right size. My ear, canals. I'm like a small medium. I'm a medium in ears. So sometimes they just fall out. And once this one fell out, it was like cord central.
For those listening to the podcast, Trey is flustered right now.
Fixing my cords, man.
Tries and gets his headphones in order here. If you're wondering where Tass is, he's in Vegas still. I believe he had the John Legend concert last night. So I can't wait to get his report on tomorrow's show. Tass should be back for the Drop Podcast here in the Classic Factory. Shout out to the stream team, though, joining us live right now on YouTube. Subscribe, like, comment, share the show. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. And if you're a Survivor fan and you caught last night's episode, join us later today here in the Classic Factory over on the No Buffs YouTube feed around, 2 p.m. Eastern, I think we're going to try and shoot for.
Yeah, 2, sure.
Yeah, call it early afternoon. The No Buffs YouTube feed, turn that into a podcast. No Buffs has its own separate feed. A fascinating, wild episode last night. Lots to break down from that one, episode 9. So we'll get into that later. But we got a wedgie, guys. Ooh. Wedgie number 41. Serge Ibaka sending the Bulls packing with a wedgie for their troubles. Here he is in the corner. 33 seconds to go in the game. Sticks the corner wedgie.
Wow, that one really stuck.
Yeah, that's a deep, deep wedgie. Hey, what's up, Sarah Kustak? So that is wedgie number 41 on the season, second of the playoffs. And maybe one of the more entertaining things from that game last night. But let's get into it. Bucks crush the Bulls 116-100 in Game 5, and they will advance to face the Celtics. We'll get into that series and talk about Bucks-Celtics in the second round. But thoughts on the game and your Bulls here?
This was a game.
Yeah.
Not a lot to say about this one. The Bulls took a one-point lead 2 minutes in. That was the last time they led. Down 16 after the first quarter. The Bucks stretched it out to 29 midway through the first half. Somehow this is only a 16-point victory for the Bucks, so it looks a little better for the Bulls. But basically what the series breaks down to is Chicago played really well in Milwaukee. The Bucks lost game 2. They lost Chris Middleton and said, this series is over. Giannis really put his foot down, I thought, in this one. 33 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, and he only played 30 minutes. Yeah. Like, he could score any single time he wanted to. Hot Bobby Portis, 14 and 17, a double-double in all 3 games once he moved into the starting lineup. And then Grayson Allen and Pat Connaughton hit 9 threes combined, just to rub it in the Bulls' faces. But the good stuff is that Grayson Allen did get booed at home. Yep. He kind of was asking for it because he said the Chicago fans weren't booing loud enough. Probably true, since it was a 30-point game in the second half of both of those. And the Bulls won the fourth quarter. My guy Tony Bradley got some run. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. This one was over at halftime, but I stuck around to see that wedgie. Saw it live. Cool.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I will say I was a real my buddy Grish.
Oh, yeah.
Your buddy Grish. Our buddy Grish last night. I said the game was over on the first basket when Giannis threw down the putback dunk. And I was like, yeah, it's going to be one of these nights. It's going to be one of these Giannis's where he's going to like come out, take control of the game in the first quarter. He had 15 and get it set up where he's not going to have to play a lot and play maybe 30 minutes, and that's exactly what happened. And then the defense on DeRozan, too, is the other storyline from this game, and I think this series, too. Once LaVine wasn't playing, once Caruso goes down, obviously there's no ball. There's just not a lot of shooters. And the game plan from the Bucks was all eyes, all bodies on DeRozan. Anybody but him going to be beating us after he had that big game, too, with the 41. And in this one, they just, like, yeah, sat on that right hip, force him to go left, bring a bunch of help, and he was making the right play. Like, it's like DeRozan is a playmaker, just guys were not hitting some of the open shots. And you know, they shot 52 threes. This was the other thing. The Bulls were like, our only chance really to win this game is to like hit 25 threes in this and somehow make it a game. But
I think it's the most threes the Bulls have ever taken in any game ever. Yeah. And like you're mentioning, 7 assists for DeRozan. He could have had 17 assists.
Yeah, exactly.
The Bulls could have possibly shot the ball, but basically Milwaukee was 100% fine with anybody but DeRozan shooting it. So, yeah, yeah. This was a blowout. I mean, this was a blowout.
Yeah. Look, after game two, I was hopefully optimistic that, hey, the Bulls can maybe stretch this out to six. You know, DeRozan had that game. Yeah. He was knocking in jumpers over Giannis. But it was fool's gold. You know, it really was. And the fact that, you know, they even won game two was pretty fortunate in this series. I can't remember what I predicted, but I think it was Bucks in no more than five anyway.
Yeah. But then Middleton leaves in that game too. Yeah, he left. Is there an opening? But the Bucks, you know.
It was like the Bucks honestly just were asleep those first two games.
Yeah.
And then Budenholz was like, guys, let's just end this so we get ready for the Celtics in the second round. And that's really where they're at right now. I mean, Giannis is, there's no matchup there for him against the Bulls. There's very few matchups in the entire league.
Of course.
For Giannis. So he just decided to flex his muscles a little last night. And yeah, the 16-point quarter lead after the first quarter, there was like, the Bulls would have to have some miraculous, like, a Dosunmu going for eight threes. You know, Kobe White. Something like that was the only real way they were going to get back into the game. DeRozan took 10 shots last night. I think you mentioned he was passing. But if DeRozan had 38 shots last night, I don't think anyone would be complaining either, because they just didn't have any other significant offense. I know Vucci finished with a pretty strong game. Nearly got the triple-double there Vucci.
Oh, man, did he bang his head off the floor, when he slipped?
I mean, that
guy must have a hard noggin to, like, continue to play and want to play. I mean, you know, kudos to him. Like, I hope they were, like, putting up how many fingers, man, because that was huge. He bounced off the floor there after he slipped. The only other thing I have in my notes is we saw the skyhook from Jrue Holiday.
Very cool.
The Kareem Abdul-Jabbar lefty skyhook. Yeah, that's how it works. And that's really all I have. Bulls were very outclassed. In fact, let's just like sort of spin it into what they do in the offseason here, Trey. Like, weird year, just to recap the Bulls. I mean, they were the first. They had the number one seed in the Eastern Conference for a good chunk of the year.
The Bulls had an awesome three quarters of a season. You know, through basically 60 games, they were looking like a competitive team. That's kind of when things fell apart. The last 20 games of the season going into the playoffs, I think they finished like 8-19, something along those lines. But unfortunately, the expectations were raised around the turn of the year when the Bulls were in first place. They stuck there for a month, still the best season since 2017. But the biggest question they've got this offseason is if they're going to sign Zach LaVine to a maximum contract. He's 27 years old. He's coming off a really, really nice three-year run here. 25 per game, 47 from the field, 40 from three, 84 at the line, 5 assists, 5 rebounds. He tried playing defense at the beginning of this year, but, you know, he's an offensive player out there. The injury to his knee, no doubt, hampered him during the second half of the season, so it's kind of hard to tell how he's going to perform against the playoff defense, because he just didn't look like Zach LaVine, I didn't think, against the Bucks there. But it's also the Bucks. They're going to make you not look like yourself. Nonetheless, LaVine's eligible for a five-year, I think, $212 million max contract this summer, which is very weird, because this is the best Bull season since 2017. That's when Jimmy Butler was 27 years old, coming off his best career season ever. And the question then was, is he the guy? Do you build around Jimmy Butler? So it feels very similar to me now with Zach LaVine. They didn't build around Jimmy Butler. They were terrible for 5 years, and now they seem to be back on the right path. So for me, I'm 100% in on LaVine. I think, obviously, it's not a supermax deal for him, since he's not an all-NBA player or an MVP or a major award winner. But
yeah,
I think they got to sign him to the max. I think it's a depressing end to the season if you lose out, you know, for the final quarter of the season. And then the one guy who stuck things through you let him go somewhere else. So hopefully they bring back LaVine. Hopefully he gets his knee cleaned up over the season and is ready to go next year.
Yeah, what do you do if you're the Bulls front office? This is a no-brainer, like Trey's saying, with LaVine and, 5-2-12. I mean, it's a big deal.
It's a big deal, but it's kind of where the league is right now. Yeah. That's not one of those, like, outlier contracts.
The only real concern with it, right, is can he play in games?
Yeah.
Because he's had many seasons where he doesn't
play. Yeah, he missed an entire season, didn't he, I believe, too, there. Yeah, he's 27, so I don't think it's one of those albatross contracts. I think if he does perform below that in the next year or two, I think there'll still be enough time for the Bulls to trade him, because again, the further into the contract you go, the actual cheaper it is anyway. So maybe it's not a 5-year completely guaranteed. Maybe there's a team option at the end of that, or even a player option in that fifth year maybe. But he certainly was a huge reason why the Bulls were so good for that, as Trey mentioned, this sort of 60 games. He was incredible. He was an all-star. He was playing well. He's really improved that three-point shot. I mean, he took a dip back this season in terms of his percentage, but I think in terms of his the confidence you have in him taking that now, that's a part of his repertoire, so that's good. But I think the Bulls, their bigger question is kind of what to do with Vucci, I think. Vucci,
he is eligible for a 4-year, $118 million extension.
Yeah, that to me is... He's good. I think if you can package him with something else and improve that area. Look, Vucci's good. He can stretch the floor. But I think at times as well, you know, he's not a traditional big. He's an undersized big, and he gets exposed a little bit on the defensive end in that sense. When he's playing his best and he spreads the floor out, he's passing the ball, hitting those shots, he's great. But I think if the Bulls want to get to another level, they need to improve in that area as their primary concern. Defensively, if Caruso and Lonzo Ball are playing, on ball perimeter defenders, outstanding.
Right.
You know, DeRozan, so-so defender, but that's fine. He really gives you everything on the offensive end. Javonte Green, I think, you know, there's some hope and some promise there. Patrick Williams, another guy. But I think Vucci's probably best used for the Bulls as a bargaining chip here to get improve in that area.
Yeah, what do you do with Vucci, baby?
Teach him to shoot again. I think big thing.
He took a step back.
Yeah, he was a 40% shooter in Orlando, 30% for the Bulls. And, like, that's really Vucci's game right there. If he's not shooting the ball, then it's going to look bad a lot of times. So I think if there's a trade out there, perhaps I would be interested in that, but I don't think it's guaranteed. I guess the good thing is that Vucci only has 1 year left on his deal next year. I would not be clamoring to sign him to an extension, but I also don't think he necessarily has to go as long as the bench gets an upgrade as well. Like, they got to get some defensive players. They got to get a little bit more size. The Bulls just wore down from playing small ball for the entire season. By the end of the year, it's like they were barely healthy enough to field the team. Mm. And, you know, the team that they were fielding was going up against the Bucks team that was gigantic.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
obviously the team they're going to be chasing here in the Central Division. Shout out to divisions for the next few seasons here, because it's like, you're trying to beat the Bucks. You're trying to get past the Bucks at some point, and I don't know how they're going to do that unless Vucci's a 45% shooter from three.
Yeah, the Bucks, and then, hell, even the Celtics probably aren't going anywhere here with their squad. It's tough to imagine what the Bulls will look like next year in terms of, like, where they land in the standings. Like, what will be considered, you know, a good year? It was a great year at the start, like Trey talked about. The Bulls were back. Everybody was high on them. Then a couple of key injuries, especially to those perimeter defenders, and the defense, like, sort of fell off a cliff, as you would expect. But what's going to be the goal next year for this team? Because now there will be expectations if everybody is playing, you know, Ball and Caruso and DeRozan, and they keep LaVine and they figure out what they're doing with Vucevic and all that. And some young guys in Patrick Williams, like, he's got to stay healthy. He's got to be on the court. They got Dosunmu, though, looks fantastic as a pick. There are pieces there. They'll need to make, like, a few moves around the edges, I think. Like, some size would help, for sure. Mm. But what will be the goal, I guess, is what I'm getting at here for next season.
Well, they won 46 games this season. So, I mean, I think 50 is the sort of...
50 in a playoff series win type thing.
Yeah. And I think, finishing that fourth or fifth spot in the Eastern Conference. But it's hard to see them again taking another step until they really do improve. But so much of it does come down to health for them. So, you know, because Lonzo Ball was good when he played, but how many games? He must have only played 35 games. 35, wow. Yeah. And Caruso, obviously, I think he just gives them such a
lift. He played half the season too.
Yeah. So, and look, some of those injuries, you know, the Caruso one was obviously significantly unfortunate, what happened with Allen. Lonzo, I can't even remember what injury he's got right now.
Knee injury.
He's had that for a while, hasn't he?
That's a problem.
That's actually going to hang around unless he can get that cleaned right up, because he is really also improved his three-point shooting there.
Mm-hmm.
And Patrick Williams went out. So, they had some – they've got to get their players healthy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's it's easy to say that, but if those guys are out on the court, then that's when you just have so much more confidence in the Bulls being able to defend. Yeah. I think that was a problem against the Bucks, especially. It was like, oh, they just got no one. They're trying the best they can to sort of cover so many gaps.
Did you take down your Bulls flag?
Not yet.
No?
Not yet. Didn't have time this morning. I'll switch it out for the red one.
Do you do like a ceremonial flag folding thing? Like, and all
I'll
that?
Do something. I'll okay. do something special. Maybe okay. I'll play the Crossroads.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I got to go back to the regular season flag. I thought the six-time champion would help. I switched to that flag, or I got that flag first when the Bulls were on their win streak.
Yeah.
So I was hoping it was going to bring good luck. Got one win against Giannis on the road in the playoffs, so maybe it worked a little bit there, but not enough power, unfortunately.
Yes, all right. Well, what a weird season for you and your Chicago Bulls. Yeah. You almost wish it was like flipped on its head, right?
Yeah.
Like they started like the old classic Bulls of late and then went on their killer run, and then we would have got nothing but Bulls or backs from you. But hey, look. It was a. What do you grade that season?
A plus.
Okay.
100%. I mean, they didn't. After being the worst team in the league for four seasons, it's cool to be back in the playoffs. But I will say, we drove to Memphis. Bulls lost. Saw the Bulls and the Hawks play here in Atlanta. Bulls lost. Flew back to Chicago for game three. Bulls lost by 30. I might not go to any Bulls games next year. Yeah. 2021 was good. I saw the Bulls beat the Pacers in Chicago. 2022, 0-3.
Okay.
So I might have to retire.
Maybe you've learned your lesson.
Yeah, maybe. I will say I'm a little concerned about the Bulls-Knicks potential. You know, the Knicks were great last year. They got into the playoffs. Julius Randle had an all-NBA season that kind of came out of nowhere.
True.
Many similarities, I would say, to DeMar DeRozan having his greatest season of all time, being an MVP candidate. So that's the big thing to me, is to keep building, no complacency, and don't just run it back. Like, that's the thing. It's like you had a good first two-thirds of the season. You can't say, let's just see what that team looks like again.
Right.
You got to tinker, assuming even if that team's totally healthy, not quite good enough. So I got a little confidence in AKME, Karnishtavis, and Mark Eversley. They made a whole bunch of moves last year, and it didn't seem like the Bulls could accomplish a ton, you know, with their cap space and all the assets they had. So the cupboard's a little bare right now, but they're pretty smart dudes.
All right. Well, let's get to the third-seeded Bucks advancing to face the second-seeded Celtics in the Eastern Conference semifinals, a.k.a. the second round. Game one on Sunday. Sunday in Boston, being the higher seed. So this is a juicy matchup. Defending champs versus best team in the NBA for the last 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, record-wise, they say that. They've won 30 of their last 36 games, the Celtics have, when you include the playoffs, which is pretty wild. But the status of Chris Middleton in this, we got some news here this morning from Shams at The Athletic. That left MCL injury is a grade 2 sprain for Middleton. He's expected to miss the entire second round series. At first, it happens on April 20th in game 2, the one where DeRozan goes off. They say, we'll give it 2 weeks, sort of reevaluate him then. And you know that's only, what, 8 days
eight
ago,
days,
basically
yeah.
a week and a day ago. But they're saying, no, he won't even probably be playing in this round. Potentially in jeopardy for a conference finals if the Bucks are to move on. He's played well. Obviously, over the last couple of seasons, even in Celtics playoff series, he's played really well. I think he's averaged 22 points per game, 22 and a half basically points per game on 52% shooting. So what I'm getting at here is, like, can the Bucks do this? Can they win this series without Chris Middleton if he's not playing at all against this mighty Celtics defense?
They can. I think their best chance of doing so, though, is to make sure they hold serve at home and give themselves that one game, Game 7 in Boston, to try to win that one on the road. I don't think they're going to win either of these first two in Boston.
Because
I think Udoka is going to largely apply the same sort of defensive tactics to Giannis as he did to Kevin Durant. Now, Giannis is more force
different
than
beast, though.
I know, he's more force than finesse, but at the same time, without Middleton there, you're saying Bobby Portis, who did have a good series against the Bulls, is saying, okay, well, Bobby, you can see what you can do in this series. Now, Drew Holiday, we know he's fantastic. Yep. A little bit up and down himself at times. So then it's like, okay, is Pat Connaughton, you know, Grayson Allen, are those guys going to be able to really come in and fill the void? They may, but I just watched the Boston Celtics stifle Kevin Durant like no one has ever done before, to the point where he was so frustrated. He was turning the ball over. He was rushed to get his shots. And again, I know it's a different way how you have to play Giannis, but it's probably going to be Tatum to start, and then it's going to be Brown and Smart and Horford and everyone just like double him.
Williams.
Exactly. If you're in the post and you're down low, and force Giannis to have to basically play game six against the Suns every single game of this series. I think that's largely what it's going to come down to. So it's a massive blow to lose Chris Middleton. He's that release valve that Giannis can rely on.
Yeah. Whereas that's like, just 25 points basically you're taking off the board.
And it's like Giannis can rest and it's like, okay, now it's your turn, Middleton. And also when he does get doubled and tripled, it's like, okay, Middleton can attack, he can get to the line. So it's huge. The Celtics' defense is incredible. And their offense is also very, very tough to defend. So the Bucks are have got a huge obstacle here. They've got Giannis though, so there's no way I'm thinking they're written off. But I just feel that their best chance is that one game where maybe Giannis can just really explode and detonate them in that one game. Other than that, I'm probably leaning Boston right now.
Yeah, people are saying Giannis versus the Celtics defense, the way it's been playing lately, is the equivalent of the unstoppable force meeting the immovable objects.
Nice.
Yes. There's a lot of truth to that, I think. What do you think? What's the key storyline to this series? What are you watching? Is it just come down to like how the Celtics defend Giannis, what he can do differently than KD, put the pressure on officials to make calls and get some of those Celtics players in foul trouble? What do you think happens?
I think the Bucks can obviously still win this series. If Giannis is the best player in this series, which, you know, he's maybe the best player in the league, they certainly have a chance. But I'm a little bit more interested to see how the Bucks defend the Celtics, because moving Bobby Portis into the starting lineup, I think, made total sense against the Bulls. They have nobody that can beat you from the outside.
Right.
So let's bring in all the size we possibly can, crush the glass, and make it really tough for the Bulls to score in the paint. He's not really going to be able to have anybody to guard, I don't think, in the starting lineup against the Celtics, because you got Jrue Holiday. We'll guard one of the guards, right? Like, whether that be Smart
probably
or Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
I assume Wes Matthews is probably going to get the Tatum assignment.
Yeah.
But then what? Like, who's guarding that other guard of Marcus Smart or Jaylen Brown, or maybe or maybe Tatum, I suppose, but it doesn't seem to me that Bobby Portis would be the choice there. I think he's more of a 4-5 than a 3-4.
Yeah.
So that seems a little odd to me that he would stay in the starting lineup. He's obviously been really solid off the bench, a sixth man of the year candidate for sure. So maybe Connaughton steps into the starting lineup and they get a little bit more perimeter action. I don't know. So that's something that I'm going to definitely be watching for, to see how the Bucks approach trying to slow down the Celtics.
Hmm.
Yeah, what do you think about that? Matchup-wise, when you start this game, and who's starting for Milwaukee? Let me point this out. When he came in after the injury to Middleton, he was great against the Bucks.
Oh, yeah, he killed the Bulls.
He averaged 15 and 14 in his three starts, shot 48% from the floor and 37% from three, because he can stretch the floor, too.
Yeah.
But this is a different series and different matchups here, and who's Bobby playing? You putting him on Marcus Smart, for crying out loud? Like,
maybe. Honestly, maybe. I would not put him on Jaylen Brown. I think Jaylen Brown will cook him. Tatum will absolutely cook him as well. This is the problem, I think, for the Bucks. Wes Matthews, I respect his career, but you saw against the Nets when Blake Griffin came on and Udoka was like, he's the weak spot, bang, go straight at him. That's what I think they'll target Wes Matthews, I think, because he's older and he's a bit slower and smaller. And, you know, Brown and Tatum, they're not going to be bothered at all by shooting over him.
No,
Brown,
you're a lot more bothered by Giannis and Brooke Lopez behind him, though.
Yeah, but again, Jaylen Brown, when he drives into the paint, I think that's when he's at his most effective, because he can really get in there and cause some trouble. Lopez is fine, but, you know, oh, I don't know.
Come on, Lopez versus Al Horford, let's go!
Well, that's the thing. That's actually a good big old, old centers like trudging up and down the court at each other. They can both spread the floor a bit, though, so that could be a fun, interesting series there. But they need to make sure that Giannis obviously doesn't get in foul trouble himself.
Mm-hmm.
And the Celtics, I think, again, that they will make him work. They'll try to get him exhausted at that end, because he's going to have to carry so much of a load. It's a fascinating series.
I know.
I can't wait for it.
Is this a rivalry? Bucks Celtics? And I ask that because it's going to be the third time in the last 4 years that they've met in the playoffs. That's pretty good. A lot of the same personnel, obviously star personnel. Celtics won in 7 games in the first round in 18, and the Bucks won in 5 games in 19.
The Terry Rozier and Eric Bledsoe was the battle, wasn't it? Then obviously no longer there. That was one of the ones. I guess so. Wow. I hadn't thought about it.
Yeah,
like
I
that,
know.
You know.
Caught me by surprise that this is the third time in basically the last 4
They don't seem to have any beef, though. Like Celtics and the Bucks, like, they probably just respect each other too much.
Yeah.
It's like Draymond versus Jokic, like a tip of the cap to you and a tip of the cap to you as well.
It's possible. Very excited for this. Get started on Sunday. I think what we'll do is we'll make our official predictions on tomorrow's drop podcast.
Okay.
Tass will be back, have a little more time to think about it, talk about some X factors and stuff like that. But it should be a great series. Let's hear from the stream team now. I'm sure you guys are already dropping your Bucks in blank predictions or Celtics in blank predictions. So have at it. Let us know what you're going to be watching in this series. Anything else from the Bucks winning, the Bulls losing, what they do in the offseason, or Bucks Celtics round two, baby, fight?
Bucks Celtics should be the conference finals for me.
Okay. That's interesting. You think whoever wins this series will probably go to the finals?
Yes.
Yeah?
And I would like this to be the one that gets you there, too. You know,
well, hold on. So whoever wins this series, you would like to say to the Heat?
Yeah.
You would like to say it to
the Heat and the Raptors?
Yeah.
They just have a series for fun.
Just a fun series.
They don't even put it on TV.
Yeah, right? No, it's weird, though. I do think these are the two best teams in the East. So, but it happens. It happens, you know. So.
Well, get ready for some angry Beantown boys when Giannis is going to the line 17, 18, 19 times. Look, it's going to happen. This is the thing. KD, you said it. That's perfect. Bit more of a finesse player. I can get my shot over anyone, which actually turned out to be maybe not that true against Jason Tatum, who was ended up blocking jump shots, which was wild. But Giannis ain't going to do that. He's going to, no. We're going to attack. And you know, Smart's going to be sliding in, taking some charges. And Giannis could get in foul trouble early. Mm. How much is he on Tatum trying to slow him? This is awesome.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be some flopping going around.
Hell
there's
going
to be a lot of boos of the refs. We're going to see a lot of reviews on this one because it's the playoffs. Giannis gets a little bit more leeway, for sure, to lower his shoulder and knock a guy down. And obviously, Smart, as the defensive player of the year, is going to be in the mix trying to take charges. So it's going to be a wild one. But this is a huge series, I think, for Giannis, all things considered, especially with Chris Middleton. We know he's going to be out now. The Bucks are going to be the underdog here. I think people will be on the Celtics, right? So if Giannis shows up and, you know, proves once again that he can show up in the biggest moments, that just inches him higher and higher on the list of all-time greats, I think.
Yeah, should be good. We will make our official predictions on tomorrow's Drop podcast, but let's take our first break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Warriors advancing to the second round, taking care of the Nuggets last night, and Doc Rivers had some interesting comments about his 3-1 collapses. We'll show you that clip and talk about it. Don't go anywhere.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, back with the boys in the Classic Factory. Somebody here in the stream team, Lee, off of that ad read, says you have the worst taste in music. How do you feel about that?
Did you write that?
No, it was Berto Eats.
Ah, well, Berto.
But he says he loves you.
Ah, well, I guess Berto's got the right taste in music.
All right, let's get to the Western Conference game from last night. And it was Curry and the Warriors holding off Jokic, eliminating the Nuggets in Game 5. See you later, Denver. Put up a fight, though, in this one.
Oh, they did. They held off is the right way of saying this. I felt bad for Jokic in the end because he was in a bit of foul trouble. He had some hamstring injury there as well. He was on the bike trying to sort of stay warm. He was brilliant trying to get his team over the line here. They just didn't quite have enough. Sort of felt like almost the Nuggets season. It was like, oh, at their best, they can be, you know, really good. But the margin for error is pretty thin there. And they just came up a smidge short. They led this one actually going into that fourth quarter by 8 points. And it wasn't even a great quarter, I didn't think, by the Warriors. But Gary Payton played really well in that game. Hit a big three. His dad was on the sideline celebrating there. Steph Curry returned to somewhat of his form there with 30 points. Hit three big threes to sort of the end of the third into the fourth. He was great. But I just I looked at the Nuggets and I was just like, they just can't. They're not going to get over the line here. And Michael Malone tried a few things but couldn't sort of stop the Warriors really at the key time there. Yeah. So their season ends. It sucks to see Jokic out again. You know, he got swept out last year, loses in five this time. He's probably going to win the MVP again. And the Nuggets, I just hope for, like anything, they can have a full, healthy season.
Sure.
Because you knew, even if they won last night, they weren't going to win this series, you know. But it was, I thought maybe last night, and the Warriors returned to that sort of lineup of death or whatever they're calling it now, with Steph coming back in and Kevon Looney coming out, I thought maybe they're just going to try to run the Nuggets off the floor here and the Nuggets sort of don't even put up a fight. That didn't happen at all.
Yeah.
Denver fought and scrapped until the very, very end. Just didn't have enough horses, though, really, to win the game.
Ugh, Jokic loves horses, too.
Yeah.
That's got to be extra painful. But the Joker, 12 of his 30 points in the final 3.5 minutes, basically. He finished with 19 boards, too, and 8 assists, and he was scoring, I mean, basically every time
anytime
down. They just
wanted.
Could not get stops. Yeah. And now, unfortunately, he was involved a lot in a lot of that action that the Warriors were marching to the rim. They're, you know, putting him in movement. And
exactly right.
He's gassed and doing everything offensively. And I thought he got a little exposed there, like the team did.
Yeah, definitely. The Warriors just have too much for the Nuggets to be able to handle with this version of the Nuggets. And I think it really shows up in the 3-point stats. 6 threes for the Nuggets last night, 13 for the Warriors. Like, if you're minus 21 from the 3-point line, you're going to have a tough time.
Yeah.
Against Golden State. I thought the most interesting thing from this game probably is going with Gary Payton II over Jordan Poole there in the fourth quarter. Poole didn't have it going. You know, he's had a really nice start to the playoffs here, but we've also seen him have brutal games like he did last night. But it was very easy for the Warriors to stick with a small ball lineup that's just a little bit more defensively sound with Gary Payton rather than Jordan Poole. So to get the offense that you got from Gary Payton was incredible. You know, he was attacking space, hit a couple of threes. I don't know if you're necessarily going to be relying on that, but when it's happening, ride the hot hand. So shout out to Steve Kerr. I thought he made some smart moves there. And yeah, started Steph for Kevon Looney, which
we were surprised by that. And I, at least,
though,
he called it.
They did bring Looney in pretty quickly.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I think the biggest worry then, at least against playing against Jokic, is that Draymond could get in foul trouble. But, you know, maybe that's not going to be quite as big of a deal in this second round series.
I think, Lee, your thinking with Kerr was right. We'll start with the, mega death lineup, whatever the heck we're calling it, and see if we can just run them off the floor. We'll splash a bunch of threes and see if they just, like, roll into a ball and die. And they didn't. I thought Aaron Gordon was really aggressive to start the game, too.
Yeah.
Like, he played well. He had a bad, bad turnover. Late. Was that him, I think, that threw it away?
Yes, after that incredible pass from Jokic.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. It was too hot for him. He was like, I didn't expect it, and then he threw it back, and it was...
Yeah.
That was a crucial play.
Yeah, that was like a 2-point game, I think, still at that point, with not a lot of time to go. But, yeah, and then Kerr electing, like you said, to go with GP, too. And, you know, it's easy because he's out there for defense, but then he's also going to chip in 15 points and hit a three when it was like a 5-point game there. Then it's you're like, okay, now I look like a genius because he's actually giving us that. I think Kerr said as much. He's like, he was scoring. He was attacking. He was hitting threes. It was sort of a no-brainer to have him continue. What do you think about Steph Curry's new celebration, putting putting teams to sleep. Scoring late now. He's done it twice over the last little stretch here.
It might come back to haunt him one day because, I mean, you know.
Why would it come back to haunt him?
Well, because I'm taking it as like the game's over, like go to bed sort of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was only a 4-point game here. One or two possessions the other way and, the Nuggets pull off the victory. I thought Boogie Cousins was really good last. Shocked to learn his career playoff high was 19 points. I know he hasn't obviously played a ton of playoff games, but 19 was funny to hear. And he had a nice little, and Grant Hill caught it on the play, on the broadcast. He had a Nikola Jokic floater in the lane there too. So, but when he's your second best player, as I think he probably was there last night, you're scrapping. You're scrapping at that point.
Okay, well, let's talk about the Nuggets then. Top priority this offseason. What is it? Just get healthy?
Health. Yeah, 100%. That's a... make sure that Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray are ready to go for next season. They won their first four games last year with Jokic, Murray, Porter, Gordon, and Barton as their starting lineup. They look like a legit title contender. We just didn't get to really see them gel together for the entirety of the season. And then this year, obviously, we didn't get to see them basically at all.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit more concerned with Michael Porter Jr. than Jamal Murray. Just because backs seem a little bit trickier to me than knees. Also, I think Murray has kind of been cleared to play this season, but doesn't want to play until he's 100% and is going to be the Jamal Murray we're all used to. So hopefully that's the case next year, because I think that answers a lot of questions for the Nuggets, obviously. Monte Morris becomes the backup point guard, which is what he should be for this Nuggets team. Both of the Greens, Jeff and Jamichael, become the backup bigs rather than Jeff Green having to start as a small ball four. I would also like to see a wing upgrade if they can. Will Barton, they ask a lot from him. He's performed well for them, but that's certainly a place they could get better. And their bench, I think, could use a refresh. You know, Bryn Forbes, Facundo Campazzo, Austin Rivers. You don't need to really keep any of those guys. Maybe something that's a little bit different, a little variety in those three guards would be helpful next season.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how Bones goes next season as well. Had some really good moments, not so much last night, but other games. He can definitely shoot. He's a firecracker off the bench there, like a J.R. Smith or a Lou Williams or someone like that. I mean, if he can give them good, consistent production, that'll help them. But
and they need desperately players like that for Bones to like sort of pop off as a rookie, because they have so much money locked up with the Supermax kicking in here for Jokic very soon. Like, Porter, they have three max guys. Jokic, Jamal, and Michael Porter Jr. Like, only the Lakers, Nets, and Warriors have three max guys. And then Gordon is like a $20 million per year player
What's
and
Gordon?
Only
he
going
must
up.
Be...
I think he's like 19 or something. And obviously.
But he must only have a year left or so, doesn't
he? He might have one or two left on it.
Because I actually think Gordon is a really good fit on this team. I like him on this team, but he needs to be more consistent. But that's also been a trademark of his entire career.
Easier for him to be the consistent fourth guy on the team, though. Third or fourth guy, then the second guy.
Yeah, oh, for sure, right? For sure.
Being asked,
it's just you just want him to have that production that he gives you at times, you know. But I just still remember in his Orlando days, he'd be 46% from three in the first month of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd finish at like 26%, you know. So, but I think the reason I think he's a good fit is because of his athleticism. It's perfect for Jokic. You know, you run to the rim, he'll find you. Mm-hmm. He'll do that, and if he can spread the floor and hit those threes consistently, then he's very good. And defensively, you saw him on Steph there a little bit last night. I think he can be one of those sort of lockdown defenders like that when he really locks in. He's just – consistency is his biggest problem.
Mm-hmm. Also, I saw Bobby Marks write about they have to decide, ownership does, are they going to use something like a mid-level exception, like $6 million, to go get maybe some depth, like you said, a small four or something around the edges? And if they do, that's going to cost them a lot more than $6 million. Because you're getting into luxury tax. And
gotta
it's
do
like,
it.
Will they do it?
You got a two-time MVP. You got to spend every single dollar possible, especially with the way this year went. Like, Jokic had an awesome season, one of the best statistical seasons we've ever seen. Gonna win the MVP, but not even close in the playoffs.
Right,
like, you don't want to continue to run it back. That's just wasting his time, to be quite honest. And, you know, if you continue to have nothing seasons, then that's when people want to leave. I don't think that's going to happen with Jokic, but I would be doing everything possible to build a great team around him. And if that means you're spending a ton of money, then that's why you're a billionaire.
Yeah, good point. Do you think this team, when fully healthy, can like legit win a title? Like next season, Jamal Murray, 100%. Let's say Michael Porter Jr., 100%. AG there, all these other guys we talked about. Obviously Jokic. Is that enough?
I mean, I think so. You just need to see. You need to be reminded of how good Jamal Murray.
He went to the conference finals. I mean, I know it's a weird
bubble,
but
he really stepped his game up, though. I think Michael Porter Jr. is probably the biggest outlier here. Like, what is this guy? Is he a really, really, really good shooter, scorer, offensive player, but a sieve at the other end? because that's his, he doesn't defend at all. Yeah. And he needs to be a, if you're going to pay him that much money and he's going to be on the court and that important to the team, third best player, no worse than that. He needs to not just give away all his points on the defensive end. So, but I think so. I think so. I mean, when you've got Jokic like that, at his best, the great thing about Jokic is he doesn't want to score 35, 40 points a game. He'd be happy with 22 points and 12 assists. And the Nuggets, I would guess, if he's producing like that, they're more likely to win games. So I do like them, but you just got to see it.
I told Nora last night, when they were about to lose, I was like, at least he can go back to his horses, Jokic, you know? I think that brings him comfort, right?
Loves horses.
She said, God, I feel bad for those horses.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was like, I don't think he's right. I mean, I don't see a lot of pictures of him riding on top of the horse.
Yeah, but they're still dragging him along.
Yeah, you got the wheels to help you out. I mean,
these are horses, man. Yeah, horses they're so
and
strong.
I said, think about this.
300 pounds is nothing for a horse.
I said, think about this. This man walks around day-to-day life, Jokic, right? As one of the biggest men.
Yeah.
On the planet. Like, if I'm not really even exaggerating.
Yeah.
He probably likes to be around gigantic horses. Because it's like, it's he almost has more of a connection with them.
Because they're
my size. Yeah.
A steed.
And he is majestic. He is graceful like a giant horse can be. I mean, I don't like horses.
Graceful like a giant horse.
You don't
horse.
Think a horse is graceful? And I hate horses.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
that's the one good thing you can say about horses. They are graceful.
Yeah. anyway, I think this is why he finds comfort in it.
Yeah. I just think of any time you see a horse race, though, they're jockeys, there's a reason they're 5'2" and weigh 60 pounds. I mean...
Well, I understand that. He's not racing horses, though.
But he's still... I'm just saying he's on the back of the horse.
So you think a horse... Jesus. Hold on. You think a giant horse sees Jokic walking up to the buggy behind... Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I do. No. Yeah.
I don't know.
He's 6'1". He's 6'11", 6'10".
Yeah.
They're just like, uh-oh, this guy gets in there just like... I know they're strong. I agree they're strong.
I think they like the challenge.
Don't you act like horses aren't strong.
Yeah, I think they like the challenge. Like, oh, come on, big boy, jump in. Where's your brothers? Get them in. All right. Anything else on Nuggets Warriors, the series? Most of us had this going. I guess I had it. I had it in six. I thought maybe the Nuggets would grab one more, but... Warriors look pretty dominant and look like they could win a title. Do you think they care at all who they play in the second round? Wolves or Grizzlies?
Nah.
No?
Nah.
You don't think they're cheering a little bit for the Wolves so they get home court advantage?
I think if they were to choose, they would choose Minnesota. But yeah. I don't think they're that worried about the Grizzlies too. And the Grizzlies are going to be good if they're at home and all that. But the Warriors have just been there in their experience. And they're looking healthier and better. And yeah, so I don't think so.
Oh, it'd be nice to get a Steven Adams versus Draymond Green battle again.
Ooh, watch your
kick to the nuts. Yeah. Watch your horses.
Watch your horses. I mean, that's a cool storyline, too, with the Wiggins for D'Angelo Russell trade.
Oh, yeah, right.
In Minnesota there. And then, of course, we've got Draymond versus Steven Adams. And obviously, I think people would like to see Ja versus Steph Curry, I'm with Lee. I don't really think the Warriors are nervous about either of these teams, just because... Minnesota and Memphis have looked super inexperienced, and the Warriors, as we know, have a lot of continuity built up over the years.
Okay, well, this we got to get to here. This is a lot of fun. 76ers head coach Doc Rivers, guys, does not care for the narrative associating him with blowing multiple 3-1 playoff series leads. In fact, he got downright defensive when discussing his past team's collapses, and we got to show you the entire clip. Here's Doc on Wednesday.
Well, it's easy to use me as an example, but I wish y'all would tell the whole story with me, all right? My Orlando team is the HC. No one gives me credit for getting up against the Pistons who won the title. That was an HC. Go look at that. I want you to go back and look at that roster. I dare you to go back and look at that roster, and you would say, what a hell of a coaching job. Really. I mean, the Clipper team that we lost 3-1. Chris Paul didn't play in the first two games and was playing on one leg. And we didn't have home court. And then the last one, to me, is the one we blew. That's the one I said, we blew that. And now it was in the bubble. And anything could happen in the bubble. There's no home court. Game 7 would have been in L.A., you know. But it just happened. So I would say with me, some of them is I got to do better always. I always take my own responsibility. And then some of it is circumstances happen. You know, this one, let's win it, and we don't have to talk about it.
All right, so there's the clip making the rounds yesterday. I wish y'all would tell the whole story with me. That's what Doc wants. Just a little fact-checking on you, Doc, though, just so we have this right. In 2003, the Magic team that he's talking about that took that 3-1 lead on the top-seeded Pistons.
Yes.
Detroit went on to win the next three games by a combined 61 points to go to the second round, but they would then lose to the Nets in the East Finals.
Oh, so they didn't win the championship.
Yeah, so he had that part wrong. Right. They went on to win the title the next year, the Pistons did, but that 3-1 collapse wasn't right. to the actual championship team. That's all. Otherwise, this is amazing that he is going through all of this, getting ready, in theory, for a Game 6 in Toronto.
Gordon Giracek, trash. Andrew DeClercq, trash. Pat Garrity.
I mean, facts.
Yeah. I mean, he's not totally wrong, but what he could have said is nothing, you know? Or amazing. We're focusing on the Raptors here. Instead, he's bringing up playoff series from 20 years, which to me just makes you think, he's thinking about it.
Oh, my God,
He's thinking about it. My personal favorite is that he basically blames Chris Paul coming back for for the Clippers blowing a 3-1 lead. Yeesh. I don't know. This is just a weird clip from Doc. Like I said, he should have just said nothing. Or, like, we're trying to beat the Raptors here. Who cares what happened literally 20 years ago?
I think it's important to make this clear. This was, like, from what I could tell, at least I saw it on Twitter, from a Philadelphia account.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't like Raptors fans like trying to rile them up here, oh, look at this, or Raptors reporters like asking this question. This was from, again, what I think was 76ers reporters and Philly reporters asking about this, which makes it even funnier to me. But what's your takeaway? Anything from this? Is he right on a lot of the stuff he's saying outside of that one little fact check there?
Well, he was right when he said we were the number 8 seed. That was right. You know, they were up 3-1, and they lost to the number 1 seed. Yeah, McGrady was like, "I'm getting ready for the second round," or something like that. He said. But that did really spark, I think, the Pistons, because you mentioned they blew them out after that. The Clippers Rocket series, that was definitely the weirdest one for me, because it was like, you didn't have Chris Paul in the first two games, but you split those. But Doc is absolutely rattled right now. They know they've got to end the series tonight. They have to. Even though they're going home for a Game 7, the last place in the world they want to be is losing a Game 7 on their home court after being up 3-1. And I know it myself, because I mentioned that I thought the Sixers were going to get devoured by the Raptors, and I've had a few Philly fans reminding me when they were down 3-0 of that prediction. So now I'm just quietly waiting for the. I've got a few gifts chambered just in case.
Oh, Jesus,
chambered.
Jesus. So you think they have to take care of business tonight in Toronto, or you would be liking the Raptors to do what appeared to be impossible, because no one had done it yet, of course, coming back from 3-0.
And that's the thing. I mean, the Raptors winning without Fred on the road pretty convincingly, and a long series. Embiid has started to show signs of fatigue.
Yeah.
Certainly James Harden hasn't really... His numbers are okay, actually, but he hasn't had that impact that you expect.
Yeah.
So they're right now relying again on a Maxi to have a big performance. He had a huge game one, remember? That was ages ago. He had the 38 points. And Tobias Harris, and, you know, there's just a couple of little, like, things that could really blow up in their face. I just hope, as a basketball fan, I hope we get at least 7 games of this series.
Hmm. I wonder what the story will be from Doc inevitably lose this series in 7. Yeah,
look, Matisse Thybulle couldn't play half the games.
Good point. That'll be that. Embiid's thumb.
His thumb hurts.
Yeah. Well, we had the whole Ben Simmons thing at the start of the season.
Complete distraction. Doc is pining for the days of Gordon Giracek. Yeah. I mean, Tracy McGrady was averaging 31 a game in this series. what a team. I don't know. There's a potential for a lot of slander on the internet tonight with regards to the two games we've got with two of these games we got going. I kind of think we'll get into it a little bit later. Yeah. But we got the Suns seems to be the most straightforward game. Suns versus Pelicans. But I mean, if the Jazz lose tonight, that'll be a dunk fest. And then obviously if the Raptors pull off a win against the Sixers, it's going to... I don't know. We're going to be seeing a lot of Gordon Giracek. We're going to be seeing a lot of Drew Gooden.
Wow, keep going. Who else on this team? This is great.
Jacques Vaughn.
Oh, Jacques Vaughn, yeah.
That's a good one. Daryl Armstrong.
Oh, wow. They had all
is
these...
there a Doliak?
No Doliak.
DeClercq?
Yeah, you got a DeClercq, baby.
Okay, yeah.
Pat Garrity, Chris Whitney, Sean Kemp. Pat Burke, Stephen Hunter, and Gerald Sasser. I still got hope for Gerald Sasser.
Oh, nice.
Who doesn't
Pat
love
Burke,
a tall point guard?
We put him in our St. Patrick's Day parody video.
That's right.
All right. Well, there's Doc's comments. Let's hear from you guys. Are we making a bigger deal out of it than we should be? Is he right? He's just spitting facts. Tell the whole story. Are you concerned that he's even talking about this, like we just talked about? And do you think the Raps can do the impossible here tonight, at least force a Game 7? Only, what, three teams in history have even forced the Game 7 after going down 3-0?
Yeah, well, I know it's right. the Mavs Blazers. Yeah, Mavs, yeah. Blazers 2004.
I think it's
like
three
that.
Times in NBA history.
I think there was a Rockets-Suns game series too, one of those years. I'd have to check, but I think it was one of those, yeah.
Hey, during the break?
Okay.
Maybe get on your old computer there and do a little fact-checking. We'll take our final break. When we come back, JD's got Tweet of the Night, and we will look ahead to those three Game 6s. Don't go anywhere.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so you did a little research.
Yes, I did.
Was I correct? Is it three teams in NBA history have come back from down 3-0 to at least force a Game 7?
Yes. The big one, of course, was who could forget this one? The 1951 NBA Finals, Rochester Royals and the New York Knicks.
Yes.
The Royals are up 3-0. The Knicks came back, forced a Game 7, but the Royals went on to win it.
Oh,
yeah. Good series.
Yeah, yeah. Only won by 4 points in Game 7, 79-75.
Oh, yeah,
but the
high scoring.
The Blazers-Mavs one we did mention in 2003. Now, this is where it does actually get crazy. Remember in 1994, the Denver Nuggets came back from 2-0 down against the Seattle Supersonics in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
The number one Seattle Supersonics and the number eight Nuggets.
Yeah.
Well, the Nuggets in the second round were down 3-0 to the Utah Jazz.
Wow.
Came back and forced a Game 7 there. Lost by 10 in the end, but incredible in the back-to-back series, the Nuggets.
Wow.
It nearly pulled off just the miracle there. So we've got the Dikembe Mutombo famous, you know.
Yeah.
Wonder what he would have done in Utah if that was a...
Great question.
Yeah.
Okay, so only three times.
Yes.
It was the Knicks coming back against the Royals,
yes,
in the 51 finals. It was this one that you said,
yep,
in 94, the, yep, Nuggets versus the Jazz. And then what was the one, the most recent one?
2003, yeah. Mavs Blazers. Yeah.
Right, there you go. I also have some trivia for you guys.
Oh, excellent.
Just saw this from Basketball Reference. Good tweet. Today in 2002, Antoine Walker of the Boston Celtics set a record for most three-point field goals in a quarter in a playoff game with 6. Okay, it came in a loss to the 76ers. Since then, the record has been tied by 4 other players, all current players. Can you name them? 6 three-pointers made.
All current players.
In one quarter of a playoff game. Yes.
Klay Thompson.
No. No.
Steph Curry.
No. That's okay. Shocking.
Kevin Durant.
No.
Kyrie Irving.
No.
Damian Lillard.
Correct.
Hey.
There you go.
Hey.
Paul George.
Nope. You've got...
6 threes is a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're looking for... Well, we were just talking about this guy... in the previous segment about his team.
And Jamal Murray?
No.
Nikola Jokic?
No.
Michael Porter Jr.?
Michael Porter Jr.
What?
Yeah.
I remember that.
Okay. And then you've got one of my favorite players in the league, multiple-time All-Star.
Devin Booker?
Devin Booker did it.
Good
and
one.
Then this last one, I think happened recently, if I have it right. What can I say?
Like this season.
What can I say?
I don't
Jason
know why.
Jason Tatum.
No. My gut says it happened recently, but we didn't talk about it at all, so now I'm second-guessing myself. So it obviously happened over the last couple of years. He's got a double initial name, you know, the same name.
Nurse.
Yeah, but not Nick Nurse, no.
Oh,
I thought you were about to
DeMar
say
DeMar DeRozan.
No. He's a bigger guy, you know, for a three-point shooter, of course, hitting 6 1/4, but he lets it fly. He just had a bad game.
No, it's not Maxi Kleber.
Oh, no.
He did this.
It's an
alliteration. It's a white guy. It's an international guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Gordon Giracek?
No.
International guy.
Sorry, Doc. Yeah, he's got... Okay, here, I'm going to really give it away. Someone else has the exact same last name in the league.
Boyan Bogdanovic?
Boyan.
Nice.
There you go.
Nice.
Did that just happen, or am I insane? Like,
well, he did have a huge...
I know.
Against the Mavs, didn't he?
Did he have 6 1/4, though?
He had... God.
I don't think it was
too much basketball. Over the last couple.
Well, who just, somebody just hit 5 1/4. Monte Morris just hit 5, right?
That's right. Yeah. Yes, he did. I mean, Booker in that 31 point. Well, that was half, though, wasn't it? Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, boy. Oh, I'm seeing your brain.
Just saying stuff.
The wheel's spinning in your mind. All right. Thank you, Basketball Reference. Fun trivia. I love the music, too, JD. Like, yeah, it's beautiful. Intense in here.
It's beautiful. If you want to run it back, I got some crazy names from the New York Knicks in the 1950s.
All right.
Can you name a single player from the Knicks or from the Rochester Royals?
1951.
Shays? Was there a Shays plan?
We got no Shays. We got one guy whose nickname is the Horse.
Not Jokic.
Not Jokic.
The Horse. Do we know him?
You would only know that his nickname is the Horse, I think.
I don't know that.
Harry the Horse Gallatin. How about
Gallopin Gallatin?
There's only been one NBA player named Kiki in NBA history.
Oh.
This guy's, his dad played for this team.
So what's Kiki's dad's name?
Is yes.
What, he's
yes.
Vandaway? He's a
yes,
Vandaway.
Ernie.
Ernie. Generational, eh? What is
Kiki
family?
Was a bucket, man. I wonder what Ernie was like.
My favorite name, though, pretty much the entire reason I wanted to bring this up is there was a guy who played for the Knicks named Ray Lump.
He's Lump.
Lumpy.
Ray
All right.
Lump.
Shout out to Ray Lump. Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the night. Wow.
Pressing the wrong button over there. Yeah.
Well, the extra trivia kind of threw me off, you know.
I mean, come on. You got any chance you can talk about Lump, you got to slip it in.
You're right. Absolutely right. I got to follow you guys. So tonight's Tweet of the Night comes to us. It's a video that was tweeted in from Joan Marcette Villa. Definitely not pronouncing that properly. But he sent us this video posted by basketballnews.com. And it is of a player named John Holland. Holland. He plays in Turkey for the Fruity Extra Bursaspor.
What?
That's the name of the team.
Okay.
And all it is just an awesome halftime interview. Enjoy.
We some dogs, not just any dogs. We some pit bulls. Underdogs, we don't care. We some pit bulls.
Thanks, Mark Skev. Good luck.
The wild eyes.
Yeah, like how he's growling while he's going away.
Did they win the game? That's what I wanted to know.
Great question. I didn't go that deeply. No,
fair enough.
Yeah.
I also do like that he's like, we're dogs, while he's wearing a jersey that says Fruity Tootie on it. Pay the bills. All right. He played in the NBA.
Yeah,
right?
He was a Cavalier. And he showed up at Summer League for a couple of teams.
Oh,
we didn't get him on the show?
I was pre-us at Summer League, I believe. Let's see here. Oh, yeah, OKC, 2012 Las Vegas Summer League. And
would've
then
just
Heat.
Missed him.
We just missed him, unfortunately.
All right. Great, great clip there. Dogs.
He's got an Instagram saying, Final Four, coming for it all. Probably one, I would have to imagine.
Based
on that. Also, his Instagram name is Mr. Holland's Opus.
I like it.
It's not bad, yeah.
Really good.
Yeah, big Richard Dreyfuss fan.
All right. Tonight's games, guys. Sixers-Raptors, 7 o'clock, NBA TV. Philly leads at 3-2. We got Suns in New Orleans. Try and close out that series. That one's at 7:30 on TNT. And then the Mavs in Utah is the nightcap as the Dallas Mavericks try and wrap up that series. So, 3-2 series, Lee. In all three instances, the road team can end this. How many of these end tonight?
None.
The home team is winning every game tonight.
Call me Kendrick or Ronnie. None. Call me Robbie Coltrane because I'm none's on the run.
Call me Sally Field because I'm the fly.
Robbie Coltrane.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I think so.
Who else was in there? Eric Idle?
Yeah, Eric Idle, yeah.
That is the weirdest
deep cut
reference we've ever dropped. We dropped some non-timely references, but that one
I'm thinking of Robert Carlyle or Robbie Coltrane.
I
think it's Carlyle, actually.
I think you're right.
I think Robbie Coltrane was in, what's that one?
I can see Coltrane in a nun outfit. Yeah, that's the, yeah. that's the thing. Let me look it up.
All right. What do you think? Do you agree with him? Or is some of these ending tonight?
Well, call me Richie Beno, because I think 2 for 22 of them. What? I still don't know what
two,
I'm saying.
No, just say two. Just say two.
He doesn't know what it means.
No, I don't. Not at all.
He doesn't want to, or you want to?
I would rather keep saying two. Suns are going to win. I think I think they're going to hold off the New Orleans Pelicans tonight. It'll be a tough one there in New Orleans, but I'm looking forward to the slander. Like, I don't know. I mean, the Sixers, it almost feels like at this point everybody's expecting the Raptors to win, which maybe is good for the Sixers. There's almost no pressure on the Sixers, but there's also a ton of pressure on the Sixers. And I just wonder if the Jazz will have, like, one good game. Like, they like get some three-pointers up. You're playing at home. Yeah. This should be the last stand of the Jazz, at least. You know, the last time we saw them, they had the alley-oop from Mitchell to Gobert the last time we saw them in Utah. So maybe they'll be able to channel that sort of energy as well. But if they lose, people are going to be dunking all over them tonight. So that'll be cool.
Yeah, I'm with him. I think we get two Game 7s coming out of tonight. I think it's, well, I'm hoping, I guess, that the Raptors beat the Sixers at home, because that arena is going to be going crazy, I would imagine. And then I think that the Jazz are going to win here and give us a Game 7 in Dallas. But I also think the Pelicans, hell of a fight, made it a series, might be another competitive game, close game, but I think they'll pull it out. Do we know the status on Devin Booker, too? I know it was a possibility.
He was, like, yelling that he was going to be coming back, I think, too.
There's that in play, but we'll see. But I have the Suns winning and the Raptors and Jazz giving us a Game 7. What are you smiling and laughing about? And JD, did you figure out what reference he was
confirmed
talking about?
That Robbie Coltrane is, in fact, in Nuns on the Run, along with Eric Idle. What was his name? Carlisle?
Yeah.
He's not in it.
He's in that famous, like, that movie.
It's the Full Monty.
That's the one. Yeah, and he was a Bond villain as well. That's
was
he? Yeah, he was in...
are you guys talking about movies from the 80s
No.
Actually, let's see.
Like, Nuns on really the Run. Even know...
Nuns on the Run's probably 88, 89.
Yeah.
I don't know 80s. Nuns on the Run or the names of the people you're saying.
Really?
Eric Idle, I know. Eric Idle, I know, but
well, Robbie Coltrane is Hagrid in...
Nice.
He's not a Bond villain. He's a
Bond associate.
In GoldenEye, I think it is.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Is he in the N64 game? Is that where I'm going?
I don't think so.
Nuns on the Run, 1990.
I've never even heard of this movie.
It's hilarious.
It's
man.
Great. Yeah. I remember it being great. I saw it in the theater. I was 19, probably. I really enjoyed it.
Okay, give me the synopsis that you can remember. Well,
they're criminals, I think. They're bank robbers or something like that. And their disguise is to become nuns.
Okay.
Because obviously nuns are not considered to be criminals. But then they have to act as if they're women and not men. And all the... nuns in training, I guess, are not suspicious of it at all, but they're men, and they go into like the change rooms and things like that pretending they're women and stuff. It's hilarious.
It's got a lot of Mrs. Doubtfire to it.
There's that for sure.
It's Gum Session.
Oh yeah.
Watch
yeah.
Nuns
Wait,
on
we
the
should
run.
Watch it. We should.
Oh, yeah.
We should watch it. Alright, I guess we'll be watching.
What else are we doing? We're 2 series down now. Like, there's not much happening. I mean, except for, you know, the rest of the playoffs.
Rest
we got to go all summer, guys. All summer.
Our Formula One podcast, our Survivor podcast. There's nothing happening. You're absolutely right. Guys, that's it for today's show. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, @NoDunks Inc. Get yourself some No Dunks merch. Go to NoDunks.com and grab yourself an athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/NoDunks. New Survivor podcast coming later today in the No Buffs YouTube feed and podcast feed around 2 p.m. Eastern if you want to join us live. Otherwise, we'll flip that into a pod and get it up as soon as humanly possible. Talking about last night's Survivor episode. And tomorrow, drop podcast back here in the Classic Factory at 10 a.m. Eastern. We'll be talking about obviously tonight's games. Maybe looking forward to a couple more series that we may or may not know. We'll see. And Tash will be back. So we'll get the full John Legend report. I can never tell with Tass. He'll either give us a good 15 minutes on it, or he'll say, yeah, it was fine. It was great. And that'll be it. So we'll see. You'll have to tune in tomorrow to see what type of report we get from the Legend concert that Tass and his wife were at in Vegas over the last couple days. Until then, Clipper Bros.
Whoops.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and as far as I can tell, you can't play as Hagrid in GoldenEye. Wait a second. That's him, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, you definitely can play.
Yeah, sweet. Yeah.
Nice.
Okay, now I know who you're talking about. embrace the day, people.